We'll go this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I want to speak about grace this morning. The title of this message is Grace, Grace, Grace. I could have a grace, 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 but three will do. We are saved by grace. What are you going to speak about this morning, Pastor? Grace. What are you going to say about it? We're saved by it. What are you saved by? Grace. So I have a few simple points to make. I'm sure some of you will know them, but God's redeemed and elect people love the truth of the gospel, love to hear the gospel preached and expounded. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 8 to 10. 8 to 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see that? What grace is? It's a gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's amazing how people get this wrong. It's amazing how people read this scripture and still don't get it. It's not by works. You are not saved by works. The scripture's clear. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. That's salvation right there. We are created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. We do good works when we are saved, but not to get saved. Good works just come from us. There's something about God's elect. They want to do the right thing. They may not always do it, but they want to do the right thing and to do good works. So we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. This book of Ephesians from where we're reading is referred to by some of the theologians as the Alps of the New Testament. And the reason for this is that there are some things taught in this book which are just glorious. There are some things taught in this book which are amazing. They are extremely high and lofty. Thus they're called the Alps. And every Bible-believing teacher, I suppose, in the world teaches on this passage from time to time, teaches on the subject of grace. So what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that we are saved by grace plus nothing. We are saved by grace minus nothing. That's the core of Bible doctrine. And today I want us to get to grips with this word grace. It's a Greek word, you know, charis. Charis means grace. And I know we've got some younger believers here and some of you old dogs long in the tooth in the Bible. Well, excuse me for giving these simple definitions, but an easy way to remember grace is simply this. Grace means unearned favor, undeserved favor, unmerited favor. When you merit something, you deserve it. So God saves us by grace. When we say grace, we are instantly saying that we are unworthy. If you say that you've been saved by grace, it's a declaration that you're unworthy. We are saved by grace. We're not worthy of it. Another person came up with a way of remembering it. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. These are all good ways of remembering it. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones said about grace, he said, there is no more wonderful word in the Bible than the word grace. It means unmerited favor or kindness shown to us or shown to one who is utterly undeserving. It's a free gift to those who deserve the exact opposite. And it's given to us while we are with without hope and without God. That's when grace comes to us. When we're without hope. Have you ever seen yourself as without hope? And listen, if there's something in you that you're holding on to that you think has given you a hope of heaven, you don't have a hope of heaven. You've got to let go of all hope within yourself. Your only hope is Christ. Grace. We're saved by grace. So grace is given by God as a free gift of divine favor. We're saved by grace. We're ransomed by grace, bought and purchased by grace. We are delivered from the wrath to come by grace. We're given eternal life by grace. And this is the difference between ourselves and religion. Religion, yes, religion. We are not a religion. We're Christians, yes. But Christianity in its essence, in its purest form, is not a religion. Religion tells you to do something to get to heaven. I don't care what your religion is. It's just the same as the next man's religion. There's only two ways that people explain it. Either you do something. What do you mean, do something? Well, if you're a Roman Catholic, you have to take the sacraments. That's something you do. You're not going to heaven unless you take the sacraments. If you're a Muslim, don't get mad. Muslims, you might listen. You have to do five things. You've got to pray, or five times a day. You've got to confess Allah. There's one God. Allah, Muhammad is his prophet. You've got to do a pilgrimage. Whatever it is, you do. If you're a good Protestant, what do? You be nice to your neighbor. You be a good person. You be a good example in the society. It's do. There's always something to do in religion. But grace, there's nothing to do. It's been done. Oh, brother, can't be serious. There's nothing to do. Oh, you'd better be serious. I'm being serious. And you'd better be serious and come to the place and pray that God brings you to the place where you see there is nothing that you do. You're saved by grace. In religion, good works are a premium. But under grace, a sinner is declared not guilty. That means we are acquitted before God. That means all charges against us are dropped. You say, that cannot be. That is. That's salvation by grace. Not only are we forgiven, we are acquitted. Well, how is that done? Well, Rob has spent 2 weeks telling us. It's done by the merits of another. Not by our merits, not by anything we have done. And who is this other person that we talk about? Well, he's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He fully kept the law of God on our behalf. Remember, the law allows no failures, no mistakes. Remember what it says in James chapter 2 and verse 10? It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. Read it again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These verses encapsulate grace, and they show us what it is and what it isn't. In relation to the law, to works, to death, to life, to God and man, it is not of yourself. That means nothing that we can do can deserve salvation. Nothing. But you say, brother, what about faith? I believed. Listen, if you're trusting in your faith, you're trusting in the work. But I believed. Yeah, but who gave you the faith? It was God. Who brought you alive from the dead? We'll see in a moment. It's God. And it has to be, because it has to be by grace that we're saved. We exercise faith as the vehicle to reach salvation. But it's a salvation that has already been accomplished. It was accomplished 2,000 years ago. How do you know that? Because my master told me so. Did you feel that in your heart? Is that where he told you? No, he told me in the Word. He hung upon the cross, and after he had paid for us and accomplished our salvation, he said, "It is finished." It's already settled, and now faith causes me to take a hold of that salvation. But faith is not my salvation. Christ is my salvation, and your salvation. And so, it's not of works, and a good reason too, because men would boast. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, you say, don't I have anything, any work to do in this great matter of justification? No, you don't have anything. You mean there's nothing I can do to get my justification? That's right. That's right. You're saved by grace. Now, you can't have it both ways. Well, it's a little bit of me and a little bit of God. That's religion. That's paganism. Oh, but brother, what you're saying is very dangerous. Well, listen. Roll it on. Let it be dangerous. May it be dangerous. May you live and die trusting Christ alone. Plus nothing. Minus nothing. Well, let me ask you, what work can you do to obtain salvation? What work could you do that could get enough money to buy salvation? What can you do to make yourself fit for divine favor? There's got to be something I can do to make myself qualified before God. I mean, I feel this. I've got to do something. Yeah, that's that old religious thing in you. We were all raised in it. Goodness sakes. Even growing up with Santa Claus. What's he going to do? He's going to check the list to see who's been naughty or nice. What about poor old Rudolph? None of the reindeers liked Rudolph until they found out he'd got a shiny nose and he could lead the sleigh. And so he did something. And then all the reindeers loved him. That's the way we're raised. Do something. And we're looking for something to do to qualify us before God. And he says, it's done in my Son. Hallelujah. It's grace, grace, grace. Isn't this wonderful? I wish I was out there with you listening to this. This is good. Oh, yes. So what work has God commanded you to do to get salvation? None. And his word is plain. And it's very easy to understand. Let's look at Romans 4 and verse 5. This is amazing. To him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the godly. Did I read that correctly? He justifies, the ungodly. Faith is counted for righteousness. Who does God justify, the godly or the ungodly? It's the ungodly who are justified. And unless we have come to a place where we realize in ourselves we are ungodly people in need of grace and mercy, I don't know how we can get saved. I don't know. But the work of salvation is not our work. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's his work. And that work is finished. It is grace, grace, grace. Grace. It's a wonderful truth. We're saved by grace. And there's another great Bible word. Saved. It means deliverance. We're delivered by grace. It means saved is contrasted. It's like life contrasted with death. Before we were saved, we were spiritually dead. Now we're saved, we're alive. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened." That means made alive. You has he made alive who were dead. You want to know your portrait in Adam? You want to know your portrait of who you are apart from grace? Before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses. Trespasses is the breaking of the law. And sins pour out of the sin principle which is in us. And you were dead. Now he's speaking of spiritual death. Adam died spiritually when he sinned, and we are all born spiritually dead. And to appreciate the things of God, we've got to be brought alive. And here's where he says he does it. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you has he made alive. Quickened. He's made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Things are different now. We've been made alive. We are saved. We're no longer under wrath. We're saved. We're delivered from the wrath to come. And how did you get saved? Grace. 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 The Bible teacher John Stott puts it this way. He says, you're saved through faith, and even this faith which you are saved by is God's gift. This is an essential truth. It's all of grace. And we must never think of salvation as a transaction involving me and God, and he contributes his part, I contribute my part. He contributes grace, I contribute faith. You make no contribution. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to that cross I cling. And so, we were dead and we had to be quickened. We had to be brought alive. So the contribution was already made. We're brought alive. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this verse, says, note that every converted sinner is a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath, and they're brought into a state of salvation and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. The grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God, and he saves them not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, by means of which they have come to partake of a great blessing, the great blessing of the gospel. And both that faith and that salvation, in which it has so great an influence, are the gift of God. It's all a gift of God. It's grace. One of the old brethren preachers, W.T.P. Woolson, said, there are three ways in which I'm justified in Romans. I'm justified by his grace. That's the spring of it. Now, where it springs from, I'm justified by his blood. That's the righteous basis of it. And I'm justified by faith. That's the way in which I get it. Faith is the hand outstretched to take hold of it. But back in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it says, he made you alive, he quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead, we had no spiritual understanding. And then he goes on to describe it in chapter 2 and verses 2 to 3. It gets even worse. He goes on to tell us that as dead sinners, we were walking. We were dead men walking. Look at this. Wherein in times past you walked, but we were dead. Yes, we were dead, men walking. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time. That means lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the others. Oh my goodness, what a terrible, horrible description. We were dead men walking according to the world system, which was against God. We were following the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. That's, hey, let's sober up here. Come here. Do you know what? Your friends who aren't saved, it's not cool, isn't it, love? I mean, do you know what? They're children of wrath. They're following after the course of the prince of the power of the air. Does that not touch you? Would that not bring you to your knees to go to the God who gives grace, 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 and pray people into the kingdom? God would be gracious to them. You know, there was a graveyard. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. There was a graveyard some years ago in Ayrshire, in Scotland. And once upon a time, there was a stranger who was buried there. And this greatly distressed the people of the parish, so much so that they put a notice up outside the graveyard to this effect, and it read, this graveyard is reserved exclusively for the dead who are living in this parish.
Yeah, that's true.
I love it, don't you? It's reserved exclusively for the dead who are living in this parish. But we were walking dead men. We were living in the parish of the world. And we were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Living in the parish. Born into this human race. Dead. Spiritually dead to God. Ruined. Under the wrath of God. Ruined. Don't you see what saved is now? That's what you've been saved out of. You've got life, eternal life. You've been saved. And how did you get it? Did you work for it? No. Did you earn it? No. Did you deserve it? No. It's by grace. 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 Now here's a good way of looking at grace. Notice Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Anton. The apostle writes to them here and he says, Paul and the apostle Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus. See what they are now? They're saints. They're saints. What were they? Chapter 2, verse 1, 2 and 3. They were children of wrath. Children of wrath. Children of disobedience. They were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We lived amongst them, and in times past, we lived in the lust of our flesh. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. That's what we were. And now, we're saints. What made the difference? Grace. 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 We were taken from being dead, walking in the devil's path, taken from being children of disobedience and children of wrath. What made the difference? It was grace. 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 Listen to me, and you're listening so well. We are chosen by grace. We are given to Christ by grace. We are redeemed by grace. It's grace, grace, grace. We are ransomed because of grace. We are adopted because of grace. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ because of grace. It's grace, grace, grace. Romans 3, verse 24, we read that we are by grace justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By that same grace, in Ephesians 1 and verse 5, we are adopted. By that same grace, we are made acceptable. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, by grace we have the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 2 and verse 5, we are made alive together with Christ, and it's all done by grace. And Ephesians 2 and verse 6, we're glorified by grace. Now, nowhere in these chapters in Ephesians does the apostle give one iota of credit to man for his salvation. Why? It's all of grace. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are saved by grace? Do you believe that you can stop striving to get accepted by God? Do you believe you don't have to put your performance hat on to get accepted by God? Can you sit there and without adding anything to it, know that Christ is all your salvation? You're saved. By grace. And so it's all of grace. He made us alive. That was grace. With undeserved favor. Of course, that's grace. The faith was given by him. That's grace. Good works which will follow. We don't deny that. They will follow. They're by grace because God has prepared them for us. Isn't that wonderful? You don't even have to figure them out. You'll learn to walk in them, but he's prepared them. Is it any wonder then that Paul would write to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 and they say, but God forbid that I should glory. save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He says, God forbid that I should glory. That means boast. God forbid that I should boast save in the cross. Paul says there's nothing except the cross of the Lord Jesus. That's another way of saying grace. We're saved by grace. Paul's not going to boast of anything else other than grace. All our prosperity, if you've got money, God bless you. Do you know why you have it? Grace. All your accomplishments, would you boast in them? No. The only thing we've got to boast in is the cross. God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast save in the cross, save in the grace of God, where the God-man came here, lived and died for me and rose again. Or we could have some total of a huge amount of learning through our life. Are we going to boast in that? No, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross. It's the cross. We can only boast in the grace of God, my friend. Dearly beloved. And we see that grace so explicitly displayed there at Calvary, where 2,000 years ago the young Prince of Glory died and suffered in our place. You know, in the entire Bible, we do not find any scripture that indicates that any man or any woman can be saved apart from Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he's the coming Messiah. He is the promise of grace. In the New Testament, he's the realized Messiah who makes us alive by grace through faith. Grace always leads us to Jesus. Because of grace, he died for us. By his grace, he procured and secured our salvation at the cross. And he himself is our salvation. Did you know that he himself is the grace of God? That's one of his names. And did you know that grace is embedded in his very name? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That's grace. And remember, Acts 4:12, there neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only salvation in Jesus. Remember what Jesus said himself in John 14 verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Grace leads people to Christ. Will not lead us anywhere else. Grace enables us to look unto him by faith and be saved. Well, Brother McKee, I've been listening to this for long enough, but I want to ask you, what about repentance, young McKee? What about repentance? You know, what about it? Well, isn't repentance not important? Yes, it is. But let me ask you, where do you get repentance from? Well, you'll find the answer in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So where did you get your repentance from? It was grace. 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 Isn't this wonderful? It's enough to make a Presbyterian shout amen, I tell you folks. Grace. There's no other way. Praise him. Praise him. This is lovely. So we can say that grace is the free gift. It's free grace. Grace is free. Because it's a gift. Grace is saving grace. We're saved by grace. Grace is sovereign grace, not of ourselves. It's sovereign grace. Actually, did you know that all grace is sovereign? There's people who criticize us for calling ourselves a sovereign grace community. And they say, well, we're not sovereign grace. But all grace is sovereign.
Otherwise, it's not grace. It's like saying, here in this restaurant, we serve wet water. Well, if it's water, it's wet. If it's grace, it's sovereign. It's like in America, there's this company that makes butter, and they advertise it as country butter. And so it should be country butter. I've never eaten city butter, have you? I have never had cows raised in the city that make butter. It's always cows raised in the country that make butter. Country butter, amen. Grace, sovereign grace. They go together, just like country butter, like wet water. Sovereign grace. Not only is it sovereign, it is sustaining. It's sustaining grace that we are created in Christ Jesus on the good works which God has foreordained that we should walk, move forward in them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. I'm going to finish with a little story. It's about a man called John Nelson. Now, you probably haven't heard of him. I've barely heard of him. But he was a preacher in the 18th century, 1700s. He was a preacher in England. Before he had been saved, he'd been a bit of a wild man. He'd been a blacksmith, pretty tough guy. But God saved him and then used him in a wonderful way to lead many people to Christ. He became a preacher. And one day he was witnessing to a self-righteous individual. And the self-righteous individual said, I don't need your Savior. I live right. I've done good things. I'll take my chances with the rest of the people. So John Nelson replied, he says, well, look here, my good man. If God let you into heaven, you'd bring discord there. Discord, what you mean? Well, he says, everybody else in heaven will be singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And you'll be singing, worthy am I. Worthy am I, glory to me, because I lived a consistently good life. I was good to my neighbors. I was honest. I was moral. I was upstanding. Listen, he said, if any of the angels hear you sing like that, they'll take you by the scruff of the neck and throw you over the wall. Well, we're not saying that that would happen, but I'll tell you what I am saying. The self-righteous man is not getting in there. Because all the saints will know they're saved by grace, grace, grace. The redeemed folks will be singing, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It's grace, grace, grace. There'll be nobody in heaven singing about what they have done to get there. It's grace, grace, grace. God saves us because He is good, and not because we are good. It's all grace. He saves us because He is gracious, not saves us because He sees inherent graciousness in us. It is grace, 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 and that is the gospel truth.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.